Aloha, aloha, awinala, oval, kalelehua, okalani, pehe oe. Well, first of all, I want to thank you so very much for having this because it happens that one of the major points in my campaign and the reasons that I'm running is because of the very things that this organization is all about. The Hawaiians, I'm just going to go a little bit into history, but I've studied this for years. My first wife was, by the way, I'm living proof that the good die young, so just. Was three-quarters Hawaiian, so I lived in Hawaiian homestead. My children, I brought you pictures of the 19 reasons that I'm running for this office. And I also have my son, Joey, was number 6 in the world in surfing, but he only went through about 3 years of high school, quit. But now he's published 2 books, and so I'm giving these books to this group as a gift from him and me. I have grown out of a lot of things that I did in the past, and I know the good die young, as I say, and so I'll probably be around for a long time. But what I wanted to say to this group is that I'm fully aware of the fact that this kingdom still exists legally. There's been an illegal occupation in Hawaii since 1893, and anybody who tells you different than that is wrong. We've had military here from then till now. We have also had very, very questionable acquisition through the House resolution, which is not even proper. There's all of this is there, and there's the opportunities are here if anybody wants to follow through on it to actually go to the United Nations to seek sovereignty. My personal feeling is that there should be a plebiscite that would allow everyone who's a potential, not a potential, but actual citizen of the kingdom, and that people like me could not be allowed to vote, and have a plebiscite on this sovereignty issue and then put that to bed once and for all. Now, that's just sideline. I've worked with the sovereignty group on the Big Island where my farm is. I'm fully aware of the Constitution of 1852 and also the, I don't know if you know about the Homestead Act of 1881, where everyone, they did away with Kanaka Maoli and Ali'i and so forth. So everyone was a citizen, in effect, and equal, and they had a Homestead Act, which allowed them to pick, to get, I think, to hold a property for about 7 or 8 years, and then they got that property in fee simple. I know I'm only allowed to have 2 minutes here, so I will, well, first of all, thank you for allowing me to speak. Thank all of you folks for coming. And as governor, I promise you that I will be available and that Hawaiian issues are very, very high on my list. They're like number 3, the cost of living, the monopolies that control us, and the cost of spending by our state government are just absurd. And I've watched this go on. I've run against Mrs. Lingle and other people. And had I been governor, we'd be a lot better off than we are now. So I have, you can say I'm a loser, but I'm not a quitter. So that.
Mahalo. For the audience, the first question up is number 34 on your list in regards to civic engagement. What are your thoughts about improving voter registration and participation? For example, would you champion an all mail-out ballot election system and automatic registration at 18?
Yeah, it's tempting to say that, to have that, but I think that there's so many dangers involved with that, so much opportunity. We've got a lot of illegal immigrants here. They're being given driver's license by our wonderful legislature here. And I think that to go to an all mail-in would be an absurd thing to do at this point. I think we need to have our standard voting, and we, even though it's a little cumbersome, I think it's very necessary to keep that and not go that direction.
Question 26 for the audience. Agriculture is a powerfully important industry, especially to addressing Hawaii's reliance on offshore food. As governor, what will you do to support and grow the numbers of small local family farms and ranches?
Oh, wonderful. Okay. It sounds like I wrote that question. one of the main reasons I'm running is because of the totally fouled up mess that we have with the Hawaiian homestead. Number one, everybody who's on that list, and right now there's about 24,000 listed as people who are there. Now there's what I found out recently is that of the people that are there, some of them have been offered land but did not want it. But instead of taking them off the list, they put them back on. So that's one of the reasons the numbers are so high. The other thing is that they're not accommodating the people that they're supposed to be taking care of, namely the Native Hawaiians over 50%. And what I'm looking at in terms of the farm issue, let me go back a little bit. To me, the biggest problem we have in this state, other than the monopolies and the cost of doing business as farmers, is the fact that we don't have farming going on here. And the Native Hawaiians, and where I live is just below Hawaiian Homestead in Ahualoa on the Big Island, it's all being taken care of by who? Parker Ranch. And what is any Native Hawaiian getting? What I've learned from being around with people that are involved, that there's number one is education, number two is health care, dental care. All of that is being denied because of the way this Hawaiian Home Commission acts. And there are millions of dollars that are going out to OHA and to Hawaiian Homes commissioners that should be going down to the people. And as number one thing that I intend to do is to get an inventory of all the land that's available. I want to make sure in the 4 years that I'm going to be in, I'm only going to go one term, is to make sure that everybody who's entitled to that land has it. I also, and I know some will disagree, but I feel that that land should be given to them in fee simple. The reason I say that, the 1881 Kamehameha III, I think, was still in control at that time. And if they had 5 years on the property at the end of that time, they were given fee simple interest in the property. Well, anyway, thank you. I hope that answers your question.
All right. Okay, this is for question number 21, housing, relating to housing. The legislature acted to mandate investments in 22,500 affordable units by 2026. This requires 2,250 affordable units to be produced every year over 10 years. In 2016, HHFDC reported to the legislature that 326 affordable units were assisted, and in 2017, 1,267 affordable units. At this rate, it would take 28 years to reach the 22,500 mandated by the legislature. As governor, what is your affordable housing investment or spending plan to make sure Hawaii hits the 22,500 unit goal on time?
Well, first of all, we are strictured by the Jones Act, and this is a federal law that says that you cannot, if a ship is not built, manned, owned, maintained, and flagged in America, it cannot go in interstate commerce. The net effect of this is that if we're getting pesticides, herbicides, tractors, whatever, from Russia or Japan or Korea, that they cannot come directly to here and be dropped off, including all of the stuff that we get from China. It all has to go to the mainland, be put on a Matson ship, which his Jones Act qualified, and then brought here. The total cost of living in this state is 25% higher than the highest cost of any state in the union, and probably 50 or 60 times more than some of the lesser states. So number one is that I intend to get rid of that Jones Act. I've already written it to President Trump and asked him to do that. And he's not done it for Puerto Rico, so I'm not sure if he's going to do it for us. But if he doesn't, I'm going to have a class action lawsuit about one day after I'm in office to get rid of that act. And if that is done, then we will have an economy here that can go and put agriculture can become the number one component of our state's economy. And that's why I'm so interested in getting the Hawaiian Homes land inventory available to any of the people that want to do farming. Because I know Laramie Howe and the Dowsett family, there's a whole lot of people that have made some serious money and done great things in the community because of their having that land. And I think that's a right that people should have. I intend to explore this very, very quickly, and there are people that are helping me right now that are going that direction. So I cannot tell you, as far as that number is concerned, I think it's absurd that the state even has to think about doing affordable housing. We need to have people able to make a living, buy the house that they want. And in case, well, the other item I want to add, oh, dear. Can I just go a little bit more on that one? No? Okay. Never mind.
Go ahead. Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, as far as kupuna are concerned, there are different things that can be done. The infrastructure for Hawaiian homes should be a burden of the state, not the people that are getting the land. We could say, well, here's your acre or your 10,000 square feet, but you got to put in the house, the sewer, and so forth. And that just doesn't make any sense to me at all. With that Homestead Act of 1920 was made for a specific purpose. It's totally been not followed, and I will do everything I can to rectify it.
Thank you. Moving on to question number five, audience, regarding Pacific region climate change. Climate change is real, and as Native people, we anticipate being one of the only few locations suitable in the Pacific region for climate refugees from other Pacific nations. What leadership role do you envision as the governor of Hawaii to bring the larger Pacific region together to prepare and begin working and preparing together?
Well, to be honest with you, I haven't given that particular. I did read the question. When, you know, I've read all 38 questions that they've given us, and to that one, I do not have anything that I could say that makes sense to me. I would hesitate.
That's an honest answer. Thank you for that. Okay, so this is relating to question number 10, relating to the issue of water. Water is important to Native Hawaiians. It is important to everyone. The state's obligation is to protect, control, and regulate the use of these resources is enshrined in the Constitution. Water use can be hotly contested between corporate and community interests. As governor, how would you ensure a more balanced approach to water use throughout Hawaii between corporate and community needs?
Okay, actually, that's a very, very totally important issue. And the Ho'opili, where they've had productive agricultural land, is now being turned into 2,400 homes, which is going to hugely change the need for water over there. It's going to wipe out agriculture production, and that is something that I'm totally against. As far as the long-term look, and a long time ago I put this in as a legislative offering, is we could dam the top of each one of the major valleys and put dams in there so that we have a reserve of water. But we also have to be extraordinarily careful when we're rezoning to allow any kind of new use to come in, and looking at the impact on infrastructure of what's going to happen at the next change in the land use control. The other one that really bothers me a lot is the point pollution that we get from using these herbicides, pesticides that are running into the ocean. That is another area that I'm looking at. DLNR is going to be very, very busy if I am a governor, I can tell you.
Question number 14, in regard to drug rehabilitation facilities. Stated quite simply and directly, one of the top healthcare priorities of Native Hawaiian organizations that convene at the CNHA convention is to increase access to drug rehabilitation facilities and services, especially on neighbor islands. There are far too few against the siege of drug destruction to Hawaii families. As governor, what are your thoughts and plans to address this issue, aside from drug enforcement?
Yeah. Well, first thing, I'm glad I got this opportunity. It's a little bit off of your question, but it relates to that. First of all, you have OHA, you have the Hawaiian Homes Commission. Both of them are supposed to be functioning for the benefit of the Hawaiian community, and that's not just the 50% people, but everybody who's born Hawaiian. And as I just showed the folks back there, but my 19 reasons for running are these, you know, I've got 23 great-grandchildren coming up, and I feel I'm not allowed to die until this gets taken care of. Anyway, as far as what can be done is we need to see what these two organizations are doing, where that money is going, what are we getting out of it, and if it means to abolish OHA, if it means to abolish the Hawaiian Homes Commission and have a central Hawaiian you want to call it Hawaiian-oriented segment of government that's going to be looking to that so that we know what's coming in, we know what's going out, we know what the needs are. For instance, part of what we can have is out of the homestead land is we can put up townhouses, places where kupuna can go there and live, you know, decently without having to worry about things. There's all different kinds of things that can be done if we have a proper understanding of what's there, what's available, what it's going to cost to do it. And then I believe the state of Hawaii's taxpayers, including me, are very happy to spend money for those kinds of projects. I don't know if that answers your question, but that's...
Thank you. Moving on to question number 7 for the audience regarding public charter schools. The disproportionate per pupil allocation awarded by the state to charter schools continues to be a concern across the state. What solutions do you propose to address charter school needs for permanent facilities and parity in funding?
Okay, that's one. I mean, we went over this for about an hour, but that's this question. But I was my original degree is in elementary education. I had an extensive over 3 month career as a elementary school teacher. That's a joke, and it's not a joke, but it's not an extensive career. But anyway, but I think the charter schools do a tremendous job. One of my granddaughters has a group of, they're in the charter school in Kona, and they win the solar panel award up here every year. They do a solar powered car, so she's won it. So I think the charter schools are terrific. There's a lot that can be done, but this is talking about permanent housing and so forth. And when we get into that subject, you have to look at the private schools, Punahou, the Sacred Heart, Mary Knoll. They're all in that same category. So what I want to do is to talk to the various legislators and especially Hawaiian leaders here about, well, how you folks actually feel about it. I don't feel I'm even at this stage of my career, which is over 10 years, that I can really say specifically what should be done. I know I certainly want to maintain the charter schools. One other issue since this is up. This Department of Education is another total waste of our money. They've got something like, I don't know how many thousands of bureaucrats. Our teachers are at low-level income. I intend to get rid of that whole department. I have a personnel department and a curriculum center. And other than that whole thing has got to go. We have the School Community-Based Management Council. People can run their own schools as they do on every other state in the union. And I will do my very best to ensure that the quality of education in this state puts us number one and not number 50.
All right, thank you. This is number 30 on the question list, dealing with the economy. As Hawaiians, we hear every year that the government doesn't have enough money for all the needs of its people. And every year, the government tells us that they can spend money on areas like Hawaii Tourism Authority that is not constitutionally mandated, yet ignore issues like resource management, water priorities, and Hawaiian homes that are constitutionally mandated. As governor, what is your government spending plan to address all the needs in our state, and will your plan require tax increases?
Well, that's a perfect... my question, exactly. Anyway, that's the reason I'm running, because of that question that he just asked. First of all, we need to get rid of the Jones Act, to get rid of that requirements on the shipping. The next thing we need to do is to get rid of the monopolies that HECO and that Matson have, because those drive up this cost tremendously. The next thing is that I intend to have a survey done of the entire personnel of all of the state government and find out how much is being paid, what we're getting for the work that they do, and if they do not appear to be something that's useful and worth the money, they're going to be abolished. When Waihe'i came in, he increased the total number of state workers by 25%, and we're terribly highly taxed here. The general excise tax is an abomination, and I'm going to be looking at all of that with people who are economists who know what's the best thing to do, and I can assure you that it will be better than it is now. I could add that if I were elected in 2002, we wouldn't be having this meeting, because all the things he's talking about, we already would have done.
Last question. Question 9. Hawaii's history, especially from a Native perspective, is largely ignored in Hawaii public schools. And if taught, can be an incredible bridge to understanding, healing, and pride. As governor, will you lead the conversation to achieve the production and publication of a middle school-aged appropriate textbook that accurately tells the story of Hawaii's Native people?
And can you just say the last part of that, the last two sentences?
Sure. I'll read the question again. Hawaii's history, especially from a Native perspective, is largely ignored in Hawaii public schools, and if taught, can be an incredible bridge to understanding, healing, and pride. As governor, will you lead the conversation to achieve the production and publication of a middle school age appropriate textbook that accurately tells the story of Hawaii's Native people?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think there's a tremendous need for that. And the answer to that question is yes, absolutely. That whole area needs to be covered, and people need to really understand the history of Hawaii, and they need to understand what's happened here in these years, and the kind of waste and spending that's gone on, the fact that people who are entitled to Hawaiian homelands are not getting them. People are making millions of dollars, basically utilizing tax revenues and property that should be going down, to the entire community, and particularly to the Hawaiian community. They've been really, I won't use the word, but not properly cared for, put it that way.
Mahalo for your time this afternoon, Mr. Crow. You now have 3 minutes to provide your closing statement.
I'm sorry?
You have 3 minutes to provide your closing statement.
Oh, okay. I thought that was a questionnaire. Yeah. Well, first of all, when I got the invitation from you folks to come here, I could not believe it, because the questions that these folks are asking are the same questions that I've been trying to get answered over the past 40-some years. And if you don't believe it, you can look at my legislative history. What I will say is that in my past experience, when George Ariyoshi was governor, when Tadao Beppu was in office, when Gene King and Richard Kawakami, I got every single bit of environmental law that we have here now came off of my desk originally. But I was able to work with them to get it passed. And this is everything from the green sea turtle protection, the monk seal protection, the Shoreline Protection Management Act, Ocean Thermal Energy Conversion Act, all of that. I brought a copy to give you folks so you can check my veracity here. But this gives me an opportunity to get done things that need to be done. And the questions that you're asking here are directly in line with my desire to take care of this. And like they say, the good die young. And I figure I can go for at least 35 years at that rate. So, I just welcome that. If anybody else has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. But I would just say mahalo, me ke aloha, pumihana.